40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News, I'm Jackie Quinn. Rough weather in the forecast for northern parts of the country. Snow in the Pacific Northwest and in upstate New York. Lake effect snow could bring up to 9 inches of accumulation. In the south, it was twisters. Widespread damage reported in Montgomery, Alabama. This woman's home was battered.
Get in the closet and we just stay in. We can hear things falling and everything. And we just pray, God, please take care of us, please. And he did.
Audio courtesy of WBMA-TV. Dozens of tornadoes were reported in Louisiana and Mississippi as well. A state dinner tonight in Washington. The Bidens host the first couple of France. Emmanuel Macron is not hiding his displeasure with aspects of President Biden's signature climate law. Macron says it will have an enormous negative impact on European countries. The House has passed legislation to avert a national rail strike.
The joint resolution is passed.
The bill would bind rail companies and workers to a deal brokered by the Biden administration in September, but voted down by 4 of the 12 unions involved. Democrats aligned with labor have criticized Biden's move to intervene, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi responded by adding a second vote, adding 7 days per year of paid sick leave for rail workers. That measure passed by a much narrower margin, 221 to 207, with Republicans overwhelmingly opposed. It now goes to the Senate. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell says the Federal Reserve will push rates higher than previously expected and keep them there longer, all in an effort to fight a stubborn bout of inflation. A judge has declared a mistrial at the rape trial of that 70s show actor Danny Masterson. Jurors were said to be leaning toward acquitting him, but they deadlocked. This is AP News.
Paid for by Govmint.com.
Have you heard? A recent stash of 1904 Morgan silver dollar coins has been found. These gorgeous 1904 O silver dollar coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck. This is a key date for silver dollar collectors, and only a limited quantity are available. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone interested in silver coins. Just call Govmint at 1-800-386-7195 and you are guaranteed a mint condition 1904 O Morgan silver dollar featuring the iconic O mint mark of the New Orleans Mint, the final year of production. But with limited quantity, you must call now. These 1904 O silver coins are still in uncirculated condition. That is 117 years of history you can hold in your hand. To learn more, call 1-800-386-7195. Call now and you'll receive a free American Coin Collectors Bonus Package, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-386-7195 now to secure your 1904 O Morgan silver dollars before they sell out. That's 1-800-386-7195.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We'll be right back.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Darrow became famous in Wisconsin for presiding over the Darrell Brooks trial. Today, she announces she's running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. The election is expected to determine the court's ideological majority. Darrow was appointed by former Governor Scott Walker and is reportedly active in the Republican Party. Flu cases in southern Wisconsin quadrupled in November. UW Health says it had 422 positive flu cases last week alone, more than any other number all last flu season. People are gathering more than they have in almost 3 years. State health officials are encouraging people to get their flu shots, stay home when sick, and wash hands frequently. In sports, the Bucks are at the Knicks tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is a product of Courier Newsroom and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information. Good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Thursday. Yeah, I got to say it. December 1st. Welcome to December. Tis the season. An icy, snowy day up here on Lake Wissota, where we had light snow over here the other day. And then it was windy yesterday, blew all that snow across the road, froze it. And except for the main roads, some of the side roads are downright icy in spots. So you want to be careful as you're going along there. Coming up this morning, Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us, and she's going to be kicking off a new health feature on this year's radio program and is going to want your assistance in making it work. We're going to actually put that MD degree at the end of her name to work for you over the course of 2023. We'll visit with Luke Mathers, who loves to give us updates about the Civic Media radio empire. We've got Assembly Speaker Robin Voss testifying to the January 6th committee, even though he initially said he wouldn't, until he did. We've got Ron Johnson lying again about COVID vaccines. And of course, there's a reason why he's able to do that. And so much more yet to come, a little bit of sports. And let's see, I think I've got another note or two. I don't really have a big note on gas prices other than to say, isn't it interesting how far gas prices have fallen since Election Day? Isn't it interesting? It's interesting to me. Our email address, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or call us at 715-388-7155. Aaron's in the producer chair this morning. Aaron, how are you?
Pretty good this morning. I talk about food a lot when you ask how I'm doing, and today is no different. I have a bowl of oatmeal that I brought with me because it was too hot.
You brought the bowl? Oh, it was too. So you brought the porridge here so it would be just right. And he's holding it up for the camera here, for those of you watching our video feed on Facebook. You brought the bowl of oatmeal to work. That's a bold move.
Yeah, surprisingly, it like congealed enough that it didn't spill in the car. And it was cold enough, or I'm surprised that it didn't get too cold on the way over. It really did hit the Goldilocks.
I am too. I thought maybe you'd need to, you know, cut it into slices or something once it froze up, you know, and
it didn't.
Okay. Well, hey, good on you. That's a first. I have to admit, I'm kind of taken aback that somebody was able to bring a bowl of oatmeal that was too hot and bring it to work, and it worked out just fine. So
yeah,
that's
thought
great.
I'd give it a shot, and here we are.
Hey, you played the weather odds right, whereas I'm about to prove how to play the weather odds wrong. You will recall yesterday I mentioned that after getting an inch and a half, 2 inches of snow over here, that I was not going to shovel out the driveway because I'd seen that on Friday afternoon we're going to hit 40, 41. I'll just wait and it'll be a lot easier to push it off at that point, whatever doesn't melt. Come to find out, the forecast has been updated now, and while it will tickle 40 for a bit, and maybe I'll push that snow off, it's going to be followed Friday night and early Saturday morning with some more light snow. So, you know, joke's on me. I'll have blacktop for a little bit, and then we'll just cover it all up right away again. Hey, we will say more about this later in this hour, since every morning at 6:50 we do this day in history or this day in musical history. but we can't have the top of the show pass without noting the departure of Christine McVie of Fleetwood Mac, who passed away yesterday at the age of 79, which, by the way, in and of itself catches a lot of folks off guard. I mean, then you do the math and it makes perfect sense. When she and the other members of Fleetwood Mac made the blockbuster album Rumors, she was about 33, 34 years old. It's just that much time has passed, but a lot of these artists seem to, you know, be forever young in our minds. And we see them, you know, over the years, we see them age a little bit, but, you know, 79 did catch some folks off guard. It led to an obvious outpouring of tributes because, I mean, that was the band. I'm not going to say it was the Beatles, but there were the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and then there were the Eagles. And right about that time, you know, Fleetwood Mac was ascendant, and the Rumors album blew the barn doors off of any previous sales for albums. And there's a reason why. I mean, it is that good. And Christine McVie was a big part of that reason. As I'll note later in the show, when you look at the Fleetwood Mac Greatest Hits album that came out, the 16 songs, you know, she wrote half of them and wrote so many of their hits and did not consider herself, you know, a solo performer. She did not particularly enjoy it. She liked songwriting. She liked being part of a group. And I think that those are accolades that are well-deserved. So we will play several songs that she had a role in before we finish up this particular hour. In sports, the Bucks beat the Knicks 109-103 in New York last night. Giannis had 37 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. He fouled out with a minute left, and the game was still close. The final foul wasn't garbage, but the one they called on him, his fifth foul, was absolute garbage. But then he fouled a sixth time and was out. Fortunately, Grayson Allen made his only three-pointer of the night with about 30 seconds left to fill the gap after Antetokounmpo had carried them for so long. And by the way, I never get tired of watching Brooke Lopez block shots. So the Bucks win that one. It's the first in a span of 15 games where 11 of those games will be on the road, which makes sense given what a big home stand the Bucks began the season with. And this was now the fifth time that the Bucks have beaten the Knicks, and the Knicks lose again at home. All right, let's take a break. We'll go through some Wisconsin headlines of the day coming up in just a couple of minutes here. This is Up North News Radio for Thursday.
When you have a political party that has no problem lying, where they figure the end justifies the means, unfortunately, that has an impact in politics.
Yeah, Ron, we know.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 34 today under mainly sunny skies. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows level off around 27. Highs level off around 48. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. turning cooler Saturday and Sunday with highs from the mid-20s to the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 14 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Five. It is just 5 degrees up here on Lake Wasota. And obviously, chilly wherever you are. I know you just heard your current temperature in your hometown, coast to coast, border to border across the state, as I like to say. But hopefully, if you do have to spend any extended amount of time outside, you're finding ways to keep yourself warm and safe. We would appreciate that. Let's see. We mentioned the Bucks beating the Knicks last night. The Packers and Bears will face off Sunday at noon. I have acquired a can cozy from the Drink Wisconsin Belief store, green and gold, saying the Bears still suck on it. And we will dig up that song for tomorrow, Aaron. Don't let me forget. It's a classic. I've got a friend who's a big time Bears fan, and he loves to use the Touch Tunes app to play jukeboxes in whatever watering hole we happen to be sitting in. And I can't help it when it gets to be football season. I sometimes jump in the line. You can, you know, pay an extra credit and jump in line on the jukebox, and up comes the Bears still suck. And somehow he always knows it's me. I don't know. I guess I'm passive aggressive that way. Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, Touch Tunes is definitely an implement of war.
That's a good way to put it. It's true, because again, it's at several of the places that we frequent around here. And yeah, people look around like, oh, who jumped in line and who played that? And this is my favorite part. A couple of my buddies, we're sitting at one place and they're both complaining about the Wi-Fi. And they're both complaining because they can't get the app to work. And they're holding their phone up in the air and they're doing everything else with it. And I just laugh and I point not 20 feet away. I said, the jukebox is right there. You can walk over and put in a dollar. No, I got to get the app to work, though. The Wi-Fi. I finally walked over, put in a $5 bill and played all the songs I wanted while they were still waiting to get the app to work, because the machine is right there. It couldn't have been any easier unless there was a close and play sitting on the bar next to our lineys.
Yeah, sometimes they're a little farther away, or there's people crowded around them, or you're trying to do it in secret and play Bee Gees for your friend that hates the Bee Gees or whatever.
It gets worse. There's a couple of bars in our area, go figure, Northwest Wisconsin. And I remember watching one of my friends get really frustrated, going, why haven't they played my song yet? And then a minute or two later, he goes, oh, no. And I said, what? And he starts to laugh. And we were at the edge at this point. And he said, I had the wrong bar called up. Meanwhile, customers upriver at the Mallard are wondering why they're hearing the same damn song for the third time in a row. And it's because somebody picked the wrong bar on the app. You need to be careful with technology, boys and girls.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. I can say that I haven't done that, but I've also barely used Touch Tunes, honestly. Mostly, I let my friends do the terrorism.
Jukebox terrorism is a real thing, kids. Aaron Rodgers says he'd have an open mind if the Packers get eliminated from playoff contention and if he's approached about resting to allow more game reps for Jordan Love. However, before that happens, as we mentioned yesterday, he wants to make sure that the Packers are mathematically eliminated. And so he wants to make all this a moot point by winning out. Rodgers said, I'd love to finish the season out, but I understand this is a business. And there's a lot of us kind of older guys who play a decent amount, and they might want to see some of the younger guys play, Rodgers said Wednesday. Hopefully we don't have to have that conversation. But if that conversation comes up, I'll approach that with an open mind and without any bitterness or resentment. Well, that's certainly the right thing to say. Let's see if he handles it better than, you know, say Favre did for him back in the day. But again, the Packers are 4-8. And they would have to leapfrog four other teams to make the playoffs. So, yeah, winning out is the only way. The only way forward is through for Rodgers. And he still thinks that he's got a chance to do that, especially given that he is one of the owners of the Chicago Bears. He has owned the Bears for years now and wants to see if he can do that one more time coming up this Sunday. On Saturday morning, the USA men's soccer team will play in the knockout stage of the World Cup. They will take on the Netherlands. That's going to be the extent of my game preview. Other than to say, let's see, I know I found one useful piece of information that didn't go over my head. The U.S. will have their hands full against a talented Dutch side, according to ESPN, but there is reason for optimism. Despite winning the group, the Dutch struggled offensively against both Uruguay and Senegal before beating Qatar in their third match. U.S. winger Tim Way said, "I always say it's us against the world. No one believed the U.S. could play good football." So there it is again. If you're tracking your sports cliches, nobody gave us a chance. It's us against the world is the mindset that's guiding the U.S. men's soccer team. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss spoke to the January 6th committee, and for, you know, whatever reason you want to call it, Voss was it. That's the wrap. The January 6th committee is all done interviewing witnesses and is now working on a report that they hope to put out by Christmas time. Voss was interviewed because former President Donald Trump called him this year and told him he needs to work to decertify the election that happened 2 years ago. And Voss told him that's not a thing. You know, he said in so many words, you know, "I love you, booby. You're the best, but I can't do this thing for you."
And hey, some logic, Trump, at least.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, thank God for little favors. Anyway, initially the House committee had subpoenaed Voss. He filed a federal lawsuit seeking to block it, delaying it just long enough that he became the final witness in what is obviously a case being made that this is a president and now former president who not only tried to cheat and tried to rig the election, but continues to do so. And that's pretty much what, you know, the report is going to say. Then the question becomes, what does that lead to? Does Merrick Garland, the attorney general, and the U.S. Department of Justice, you know, what kind of criminal actions do they take against the former president? Voss had said something. He put out a brief statement saying that the meeting was brief itself and that he answered their questions about the 2020 election. You know, Voss at some point had made note that, you know, he didn't have any connection to January 6th. Well, that's not exactly true. You know, he and so many other Republicans cast doubt on the election results, knowing full well there was no reason to cast doubt on the results. You know, his compadre, State Senator Scott Fitzgerald, who's now a U.S. congressman, arranged for a slate of fake electors to have access to the Capitol and fill out fraudulent paperwork claiming to be the rightful electors from Wisconsin. Ron Johnson played a role in it by coming within minutes of possibly delivering that fraudulent ballot of fake electors to Vice President Mike Pence. Except that, you know, a mob had broken into the Capitol and was starting to ransack the place, and everybody had to flee for their lives. As for Ron Johnson himself, well, he's back to lying about the COVID vaccine. He stepped before cameras yesterday in the U.S. Capitol and let out some kind of gobbledygook that I'm not even going to give it the time of day, just to say that he, again, is incorrectly interpreting an open source database to claim all kinds of things about the vaccine that aren't verified and aren't true. He knows this. He knows he is purposefully misinterpreting the data in that database, and yet he was doing this anyway. It's what he does, and it's what he's going to continue to do. And look, at least for the next 2 years, and hopefully the next six, Ron Johnson's irrelevant. You know, he is not in the majority in the U.S. Senate, hopefully never gets to sniff the majority and once again chair a committee where he can hold these dog and pony shows about the vaccine, about Hunter Biden's laptop, whatever the case may be. But the point I want to make here is let's remember why Ron Johnson is once again in the Capitol standing before a bank of microphones spreading lies about the COVID vaccine. It's because in part, Wisconsin's newsrooms chose not to hold him accountable for that. Instead, most of their focus and their stories were taking the bait and focusing on crime the way Ron Johnson and his donor sponsors wanted them to. Because, you know, talking about COVID and vaccines and misinterpreting the database is boring, whereas crime is exciting. You can re-rack the footage out of Kenosha or Minneapolis. You can talk to people who say they're scared, even though the odds of a riot breaking out in Ladysmith are pretty low. And again, we can talk about Mandela Barnes and we can talk about the voters and everything else. But my focus, by and large, as a journalist, is on my own colleagues and wondering why so many of them gave Ron Johnson a pass for those few times that he did subject himself to real interviews, not the puff pieces that he does on, you know, right-wing radio stations across Wisconsin all the time. He simply was not held to account. And it's not that any one of them would get him to confess and to say, well, you know, I was lying. It's about letting your audience know, however, that you made the attempt, that you said, here's where Ron Johnson lied. Here's where he lied again. Here's where he lied again. So we asked him about this and why, you know, why he's asking voters for a third term. And that wasn't it. Instead, we saw a lot of, you know, stenography basically on, you know, Johnson says this and the ads about crime say that. Even though if you look at the numbers about crime, it's a fraction of the harm done to people compared to all those who have died because of misinformation about the COVID vaccine. And yeah, I'm going to say it. Ron Johnson's responsible for a ton of deaths. Ron Johnson and others are directly responsible for perhaps hundreds of thousands of Americans dying who didn't get the vaccine because they believed the lies that people like Ron Johnson were telling for whatever reason. Maybe it's heartfelt. Maybe it's political cynicism, but whatever the case may be, it's reckless. It's irresponsible. It's in that whole notion of, you know, people are saying rather than looking at what the actual data is. The people who developed these vaccines are heroes. This was something that we ought to be on our knees nightly and thanking our lucky stars that that vaccine got developed as quickly as it did. Lord only knows how many more. Another million Americans might be dead. But instead, there are hundreds of thousands who died because they did not get this life-saving vaccine because of the misinterpretation that, oh, the vaccine doesn't prevent every case of it. Did you hear what Marjorie Taylor Greene said the other day? She made some case about, you know, she was mocking the effectiveness of masks. They must not be effective because we all wear underwear and you can still smell a fart. That's what Marjorie Taylor Greene had to say?
Yeah, I shared that tweet yesterday during Todd's show, and I mean, we both just laughed at it. There's not much else you can really do it besides, of course, say that.
But you're
it's
right.
A lie.
The right thing is to laugh because that's something that other people can hear, not to just roll your eyes or to walk away and shake your head. But when somebody says something that inane, and when Ron Johnson should otherwise be irrelevant, but gets to stand before microphones and lie again about a pandemic that has killed so many in Wisconsin and elsewhere, then yes, we are going to carve out a couple of minutes and remind people that he's wrong, that he's lying, that he knows he is, and then we're going to turn away from him again. Because while he did win election, thankfully, by and large, Ron Johnson is irrelevant. We'll be back. This is Up North News Radio.
And Walmart.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Coronavirus update. I'm Jackie Quinn with an AP News Minute. The state of Michigan's reached a grim milestone in the fight against COVID-19. It surpassed 40,000 deaths. Our Jennifer King reports.
Nick DeRuscia is the public health officer in four Upper Peninsula counties in Michigan. He says he's disappointed that some people are still choosing not to use tools that are widely available to prevent death from COVID-19, like vaccinations and booster shots. There were still 113 deaths in the past week. The state's reporting more than 40,000 deaths since the pandemic began.
More Chinese cities are easing some antivirus restrictions. Our Karen Chamas has that story.
Many major cities, including Chengdu in the southwest, announced they were easing testing requirements and controls on movement. In some areas, markets and bus services reopened.
This follows widespread protests across the country. While police patrol the streets to head off protests, I'm Jackie Quinn.
Paid for by government.com.
Have you heard? A recent stash of 1904 Morgan silver dollar coins has been found. These gorgeous 1904 silver dollar coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck. This is a key date for silver dollar collectors, and only a limited quantity are available. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone interested in silver coins. Just call government at 1-800-386-7195 and you are guaranteed a mint condition 1904 Morgan silver dollar featuring the iconic O mint mark of the New Orleans Mint, the final year of production. But with limited quantity, you must call now. These 1904 silver coins are still in uncirculated condition. That is 117 years of history you can hold in your hand. To learn more, call 1-800-386-7195. Call now and you'll receive a free American Coin Collector's Bonus Package, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-386-7195 now to secure your 1904 Morgan silver dollars before they sell out. That's 1-800-386-7195.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at She Can STEM. A message from the Ad Council.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
So something happened very quietly yesterday, which did not happen quietly 2 years ago, even though it was the exact same thing that happened quietly yesterday. The results of an election in Wisconsin were certified. And in this case, certified by a Republican official. That's because Republican Don Mills is the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And on Wednesday, he certified the results of the 2022 elections. And as Henry Redmond notes in the Wisconsin Examiner, it marks a quiet end to an election season that went much more smoothly and with less interference than 2020. As Henry notes, the certification of the election is a normal ministerial function of the Wisconsin Elections Commission chair. That is a brilliant use of the phrasing there. It is a normal ministerial function, the same way that Vice President Mike Pence rattles off the electoral vote results, doesn't cast doubt on them, doesn't substitute a different slate of ballots that Ron Johnson might have handed to him. It's a ministerial function because elections are done at the local level. The local and the county boards of canvassers certify the results. These are hometown people looking over their ballots, looking over the process of the election, certifying the results, moves on to the state. And if nothing is untoward, if nothing is untoward that can be proven or even asserted to any credible degree, then the chair certifies that the results are correct and makes them official. This is exactly what happened 2 years ago, and 2 years before that, 2 years before that, 2 years before that. But the one 2 years ago was a bit of a circus because of Donald Trump and his allies seeking to slow the process down as they worked behind the scenes to undermine the election results, to make false claims of fraud and have that be the justification for either launching investigations or outward, you know, outright overthrowing results and claiming that the, say, the Republican-led legislature should name who the electors are. It was all chaos. And somehow we managed to live through it. Well, not all of us. There's some dead Capitol Police officers and others as a result. The country made it through. And here 2 years later, with nothing else that has changed, the election was very quietly certified, as it should have been 2 years ago, when a responsible person would have accepted out on things, hiring former state Supreme Court Justice Mike Gableman, giving him more than giving that investigation more than $1 million of our money. $1 million to Gableman for the folly of pretending to investigate something that had not even the slightest evidence of anything untoward. And the same goes for the chair of the Assembly Elections Committee, Janelle Branchon, who, again, turned the Assembly Elections Committee into a circus of conspiracy theorist clowns who juggled all manner of assertions without, you know, one shred of evidence or proof. Well, since that time, Representative Branchon and the Assembly Speaker Robin Voss have had a parting of the ways, basically because Voss, for all of his many, 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 many faults, did at least have the intelligence and honesty to say that there was no mechanism to decertify the election. That was not good enough for Janelle Branchon and Tim Rantham and a host of other folks who, and of course, Donald Trump, who railed against Voss. Well, it's led to the point where Branchon is probably not going to be the next Assembly Elections Committee chair. And that means that a big data request that she asked for from the State Elections Commission probably won't happen. And that's a very good thing, because what she was looking to do under the guise of election integrity was, in fact, a massive attack on the privacy of Wisconsin voters and their data, and would have opened a Pandora's box of technological mischief if she would have gotten away with it. The Elections Commission, along with certifying the results yesterday, agreed that they are going to postpone consideration of that big data request from Branchon until it's clear whether she'll be the chair of the Elections Committee going forward and still wants all of that data. The odds are that she will not be the chair and probably render that request a moot point. But back in June, she wanted the commission to provide her with the entire statewide voter registration list, including contact information submitted by voters, and data that documents changes to a voter's status. I mean, that is massive in and of itself. And that's only a slimmed down version of Janelle Branchon's initial request. Initially, she asked the commission for 20 years worth of documents and voters' personal identifying information. And thankfully, Democratic Elections Commission member Ann Jacobs called the request insane. And Branchon pared it back to the current list and the current data on the approximately 3.5 million registered voters in the state and at least as many inactive voters who are in that database as well. If Elections Commission staff would have had to do that at the time back in June, anytime until now, it would have been a time suck and would have slowed down the preparation for this year's election. And of course, there were all the concerns about the information remaining secure. And I don't have any problem telling you that if that data were to be released by the state and turned over to partisan politicians like Janelle Branchon, there's not a chance in hell that data would have stayed private. None whatsoever. And who knows what we'd be facing right now in terms of, again, your Dinesh D'Souza's and others taking our personal data, misinterpreting it deliberately, turning it into conspiracy theories, but picking on innocent people who might have a similar name to somebody else, for example. And God only knows what happens when the Social Security numbers get leaked or whatever other private information is in there. Addresses are in there. Can you imagine the conspiracy theorists that would start personally harassing people once they have their address and other information to say, you know, you voted here, but you didn't vote there. What's the story on that? That's not something any Wisconsin voter deserves. Wisconsin voters don't even deserve the most basic thing that Republicans and the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty and others were trying to do, you know, well over a year ago. And that was simply to dump people from the voter registration rolls based on dubious data to say all of these people should be struck from the rolls, meaning that when you show up to vote, your name isn't there. And so you are forced to re-register to vote. And some will, but others will throw up their hands and walk away, as is intended by doing just that. I mean, that basic step, thankfully, was thwarted. But then Janelle Branchon and others wanted to take it a step further when they weren't busy trying to overturn election results. They were trying to get 20 years worth of voters' personal data under the guise of conducting some kind of investigation. With what? With the same credibility that Michael Gableman did his investigation? Oh, please. So Voss and Branchon are no longer BFFs, and Voss is going to appoint probably a new committee chair at some point here in the month of December. And not only is she likely not to be elections committee chair, she was thrown out of caucus. You might have missed that a week or two ago when Assembly Republicans met to elect their new leadership for the coming session. Voss and others said, we can't trust you for a host of other reasons that we've talked about earlier, like a potential role in another fraudulent obtaining of military absentee ballots. But basically, she can't be trusted. That's what Voss and others said. And so she's no longer welcome to closed-door meetings with her own Assembly Republicans. So as Mark Thompson, another Democratic member of the Elections Commission, said, you know, Voss doesn't trust her, and we shouldn't. We should wait until we have new leadership and a new request for data before we consider any of this further. And good on them for doing so. Meanwhile, up in Congress, there is a unique partisan split going on about whether to impose a settlement that would halt a national railroad strike just in time for the holidays. It is a matter that we've discussed before, that it's not only a matter of pay, but a matter of paid leave for railroad workers who have been getting screwed over by railroads for decades. And I say that as a son of a Chicago Northwestern, you know, lineman. But you had an agreement that was reached at the negotiating table. Some of the unions affected, their rank and file members voted for it. And then there were a couple of unions whose rank and file members voted against it. And so that put national leaders in a real pickle here, because you had it agreed to at the bargaining table. You had it agreed to by some unions, but not all of them. What do you do with that? And you can see that this is not a classic partisan issue, that you're getting Democratic and Republican opinions on both sides. And yesterday, you got votes on both sides, because Congress does have the power to impose a settlement. Again, something that most leaders would be lax to do, but given the precarious nature of the national economy coming out of COVID, the holiday season, trying to reestablish supply chains. It led to a pretty boisterous debate over the past few days. And then the House did vote yesterday on a bill that would impose the agreement that had been reached at the bargaining table. Interestingly enough, you got yes votes from Democrats Gwen Moore and Ron Kind, and also Republican Glenn Grothman. You got no votes from Scott Fitzgerald, Brian Stile, Tom Tiffany, Brian Gallagher, and Democrat Mark Pocan. Because you had different people saying that Congress should not do this, or if they're going to impose a settlement, they should include the sick days. They should just force that issue through, or more of the paid leave days. And so that was the Democratic split on that. On the Republican side, the split was much more political. My favorite, of course, being little Marco Rubio out of Florida, saying that he was going to vote no on it because, you know, it really does a disservice to these men and women working at the railroad who deserve, you know, better from this. That's not why Rubio was voting no on it. He was voting no because President Biden wanted it. So if he's for it, I'm against it. It was so incredibly transparent and disingenuous because nobody believes for a second that Marco Rubio and the Wisconsin Republicans are going to vote for something that would lead to more paid leave. I mean, we've been having that disagreement in Washington for the longest time. And it would be nice to force the Republican hand on that. But it would have been nicer still if we could have passed paid leave for everybody in the first place. And that's really what this comes down to. Paid leave is a national issue. And it should have been done. And it's something that Democrats stand for. It was in Biden's original congressional agenda, the Build Back Better bill. And we all know what happened to that, but I had to look it up and remind myself anyway of all the ridiculous things said by West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin, who objected to having paid family leave and medical leave in the Build Back Better bill, saying that he doesn't think it belongs there because that bill would have been able to withstand a Senate filibuster. It only needed a majority vote. Manchin wanted it to go through the normal process, as he said, the bipartisan way. Well, the bipartisan way lets Republicans kill it because they're not actually going to stand with the men and women who work on the railroad or the men and women who work anywhere and deserve better from this Congress. And we have Joe Manchin to thank for this ongoing mess. We'll be back with This Day in History and a tribute to Christine McVie after this. This is Up North News Radio.
Something going wrong around here. Something going wrong around here. Something going wrong around.
Who doesn't love laser tag? iCombat gives you that and so much more. It's a real-life video game experience. iCombat's perfect for birthday parties, special events, corporate team building, or just blasting away at your friends. iCombat at 1023 Spring City Drive off Sunset. For more info, go to iCombatWaukesha.com. iCombat is a proud sponsor of the Black Shirt Football radio broadcast. Gear up, squad up, prepare for iCombat laser tag.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny today with highs around 34. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear again tonight. Lows around 27. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 48. Dry and turning much cooler Saturday and Sunday with highs from the mid-20s to the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 14 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
You know, one of my favorite social media accounts is called Super 70 Sports. It's a little bawdy on the language, but it brings up all kinds of nice reasons to reminisce. And along with a picture of Christine McVie, it says, Super Sky Point to Christine McVie. If it's possible to be a member of Fleetwood Mac and still somehow be underrated as hell, she was that. What a rich, soulful voice. Christine McVie passed away at the age of 79 yesterday. And I'd like to share part of the obituary from the New York Times because I don't know anything about Jim Farber, the writer of this story. But boy, I love the language in some of this, and I'll point it out later. But first, I'll start with some of the basics here. He writes that McVie's commercial potency, and actually, I want to do this right because we have a montage of songs here to play. So you just go ahead, Aaron, and hit the next one as you like for a little bit, and then the next one after that while I read Ms. McVie's commercial potency, which hit a high point in the 70s and 80s, was on full display in the Greatest Hits anthology released in 1988. She either wrote or co-wrote half of the tracks, double that of Stevie Nicks. The third most prolific member, Lindsey Buckingham, scored three of those hits. The most popular songs McVie wrote favored bouncing beats and lively melodies. Say You Love Me, You Make Loving Fun, Hold Me, Don't Stop. But she also had elegant ballads like Over My Head and Little Lies. This line here. McVie's vocals communicated a nuanced range of feeling. Her soulful contralto could sound by turns maternally wise and sexually alive. Her tawny tone had the heady effect of a bourbon with a rich bouquet and a smooth finish. It found a graceful place in harmony with the voices of Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham, together forming the signature Fleetwood Mac sound. With Fleetwood Mac, she earned 5 gold, 1 platinum, and 7 multi-platinum albums. The band's biggest success, Rumors, released in 1977, was one of the mightiest movers in pop history, certified double diamond, representing sales of over 20 million copies. When Rumors came out, I was in middle school or junior high, as we called it back then, and had a class, took a music class, a chorus. And I don't remember which songs they were, but there were one or two songs off of Rumors that we did simply because it was such a, you know, it was a powerhouse album. Everybody knew it at the time. And it is not possible to overstate how big it was. Part of the reason that Rumors sold as big as it did is because the songs had such meaning. They cut deep. A lot of the songs were written as the four of the members of the band, two different couples, were going through breakups. And they just put it all out there. And it led to songs that connected with people, along with their musical talents, of course.
Yeah, and it was really very much a perfect storm.
It was. Yeah, it really was. It came together. And by the way, it raises a little aside that I want to put up here about singers as artists. How if they have a hit for the next 30, 40 years, they have to sing that song over and over again. And if they don't sing it, audiences get mad. If a famous painter is appearing someplace, they don't have to repaint that painting again. A sculptor doesn't have to remake the sculpture again, but singers and musicians, they have to play their best piece over and over again. And you can understand where they get McVee said it. Part of the reason the whole rumors phase worked is that there was not a sober day among them. There was it was your quintessential 70s band.
Yeah, and when your hit songs are all about the extreme pain that you're experiencing right now, that also makes it a little tough, besides having to replicate the flawless performance.
I think that my favorite example of that is the song You Make Love and Fun, which we played a snippet of already, which again sounds like this great celebration of a current love. McVee was when she wrote it about an affair she was having at the time with somebody. And when her then husband, you know, wanted to know the inspiration for the song, she said, "Oh, where's your dog? Your dog is just so much fun." And it wasn't that at all. I think I have something about Songbird here that I want to read. Let me scroll down to it. Yes. Here's Christine McVee talking about writing Songbird. The interviewer, and I don't know who this is because it's just an excerpt. The interviewer says, "Can we talk about Songbird?" She says, "Yes, of course." And the interviewer blurts out loudly, "Jesus Christ, what a song." And here's what she says. "That was a strange little baby, that one. I woke up in the middle of the night and the song just came into my head. I got out of bed, played it on the little piano I have in my room, and sang it with no tape recorder. I sang it from beginning to end, everything. I can't tell you quite how I felt. It was as if I had been visited. It was a very spiritual thing. I was frightened to play it again in case I'd forgotten it. I called a producer first thing the next day and I said, 'I've got to put this song down right now.' I played it nervously, but I remembered it. Everyone just sat there and stared at me. I think they were all smoking opium or something in the control room. I've never had that happen to me since. Just that one visitation, it's weird. But you know, if you have it, go with it." So again, for Christine McVee, thank you. Thank you for everything. There's some other musical historical notes that we want to set up today. And look, I'm going to do the Carpenters because I am a big Karen Carpenter fan. But, you know, by comparison to all the songs you just heard, this goofball hit, which hit number one on this day in 1973, doesn't really measure up.
Such a feeling's coming over.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine, but again, it's no Fleetwood Mac. One other note, we're going to play two clips here. Actually, first is on this day in 1958, a group called the Teddy Bears hit number one with this single. I would love to know your opinion on various remakes. When you hear a remake, do you immediately prefer that because it's new and modern, or do you tend to prefer the original because that's what you'd heard over and over again? I mean, that one's fine enough. I'm not the world's biggest 50s music fan. It's all good. But then I heard this 1987 remake by Dolly Parton, Linda Ronstadt, and Emmylou Harris. It's just a reminder that music is wonderful no matter who does it, and that sometimes, like we talked about with Dolly Parton and Whitney Houston and I Will Always Love You, sometimes you just never know what that lump of clay is going to do until you put it in somebody else's hands as well. All right, thanks for that little musical journey coming along with me on that. We'll take a break for news at the top of the hour and have more in our 7 o'clock hour on Up North News Radio.
The Downtown Waukesha Christmas Parade is Sunday, December 4th, and WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM is proud to cover all the festivities. Parade coverage starts at 3 p.m. The coverage is brought to you by Mia's Kitchen and Pizzeria, delicious, fresh, homestyle Italian, and Planned Parenthood. Care no matter what. Affordable health care without judgment. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. And Albanese's Roadhouse, authentic Italian family restaurant, sports bar and grill.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress, But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.